Well, it's a pleasure to be able to teach you God's Word, and it's a pleasure to know that you're here because you want God's Word. So thank you for coming, and thank you for dialing in on the phone lines. I hope you're as excited as I am today to spend this time in God's Word, to learn it, to listen to it, to see it, to let it sink down into the depths of our hearts, and let it do the remarkable work that it does as it enters into our bodies, into our souls, into our lifestyles. Now that's important. We want to see God's Word in our lifestyle. Well, that means that we have the right to say a few things. You guys ready? I am? You remember it? Okay. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I have God's favor in my life. You want to try the Spanish version? Okay. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. That is fabulous. We've got God's favor in our lives. Now, do you want to see God's favor? I know we talk about it. But is this talking maybe false humility? Now that's an interesting subject. I might as well tell you about that today. There is a difference between true humility and false humility. And the sum of it is God's favor in your life. So it's very important to know that you are truly being humble. Humble God's way according to God's design. Well, take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is the third in a series of teachings on humility that I've been doing at each of the area meetings. So if you want to hear the last ones, all you have to do is go back to the area meetings of the past couple months. And I wanted to finish it with this teaching today. I really wanted to jump into this last time, but I said, I think we've done enough. We'll just wait. And boy, is waiting ever tough on me. Because, you know, when the Spirit of God's in there working and I want to talk and I want to teach and then we got to stop. It's hard. It's tough. You know what I'm going through. You go through the same thing. You want to sit there and keep listening. You want God's Word just to keep flying at you because it's so delivering. He sent His Word and did what? If you want healing in your life, you need God's Word. You've got to let it come in your ears and your eyes and you've got to let it sink down into your soul. And that's when it starts to do those remarkable wonders. And we have right to those wonders. So we have to learn to claim that right. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. If you really want to see God's grace in your life, and I know you do, if you really want to see His favor unfold in your life, you've got to learn humility. Humility is learned. And humility must become deliberate. So you might think, well, I'm humble. I know I'm humble. What are you talking about, man? I'm one of the most humble people around. I eat humble pie every day. Well, that's your business. I'm just telling you, if you want to see God's favor in your life, you've got to be humble. Well, I don't know about God's favor in my life, but I think I'm humble. Eat all that good humble pie and do all those humble acts. But I don't know about that favor thing. What do you mean? Well, that favor thing is what's important. Because you can't get one without the other. If you don't have God's favor, then you don't have humility. If you have humility, you do have God's favor. You know what God's favor is, don't you? You see Him treating you like you're one of His favorites. He's just pouring out blessings. He's favoring you. You seem to have it better than the next guy. And you do. That's God's favor. You're standing in line and you're just all a bunch of people standing there. But you get singled out and something gets bestowed upon you that the next guy didn't get. That's God's favor. God pours His favor out on His people, especially His humble people. Okay? So we really need to understand the difference between true humility and false humility. And by the way, our world is designed to promote false humility. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you'll see it as we talk about this. So, it says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And that ends the verse before. I would think they should have put that in verse 4, but nonetheless. Then it says, I would have started verse 5 by yea. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, because it's a different subject. It's talking about everybody now. We're not talking about older people. We're not talking about younger people. We're talking about everybody. So everybody, it says, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, I'm going to give you a literal for this later, okay? But that clothed, it just means bind. It means bind it on, okay? Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Well, everybody knows what pride is. It's when you decide you're just not going to do something because you've got a better way. You've got a better way of thinking. You've got a better way of eating. You've got a better way of talking. You've got a better way of smelling. You've got a better way of whatever it is, and you're not going to change. Well, that's okay in life. You can eat what you want. You can smell however you want. As long as it doesn't offend people too much, I suppose. And you can do a lot of things however you want. But when you step into the biblical realm, that's not true. You can't do anything you want in the biblical realm. Oh, I know. I know. We live in a liberal society. Yay for libs, huh? Whoopee whoopee. Well, let me tell you something. There's no liberalness allowed in the Bible. Okay? You are supposed to live according to God's word the way He says to. I know. We all say, well, I think I am. Most of the time, kind of. But you really need to know if you're living according to God's word or not. There's no guesswork allowed here. And that means you got to be pretty diligent. I had a splinter in my finger. Actually, it was a piece of fiberglass. I was working on my car a couple weeks ago and ran my finger over a little joint I had made, a fiberglass joint, and something decided to dislodge from it into me. Well, I worked on it last week and tried to get it out, and I realized I didn't get it out. And so before I came over today, I worked on it again, and I finally got it out. Sometimes you really have to work on things. And you might not want to work on it. You might say, well, God, why don't you do it? You know? If you have an attitude like that, you better change. God didn't get rid of that little thing. I had to get rid of that thing. For some reason, it was my job. Well, there's a lot of things in the Bible that are your job. Okay? You have to get to the place where you decide you're going to do your part. And there's just no way around it. But that's a good thing. It's wonderful. Humility is like that. If you're going to become humble, you have to do it. You have to choose to do it. Where you say, well, I think I am, and I think I'm doing God's word, and I think, well, that's good. Okay. But let's take it a step further and really prove ourselves. Let's take it a step further and really look at ourselves and say, no, wait a minute, you know. Like last week, the last couple weeks I've been promoting getting involved. There's so many things you could do as a Christian in your fellowship, in your family, in your life as Christians. And I know what people do. They just go, okay, I'm going to do one thing. What one thing can I do? I'm going to go into government. I'm going to be a help in the church. And then anyway, they just get all funneled on one thing. But you know, you could do two or three things if you wanted to. You could just go crazy with getting involved if you wanted to. So we don't want to limit ourselves by the way we think. Well, I think I am. I think I have God's favor. I think I am involved. I think I'm humble. Don't limit yourself by the way you think. Go to God's Word and let it prove you. Look at what it says that you ought to be doing and then answer the question, am I? Don't act like you're the I am. And see, this is what really becomes interesting with human nature. A lot of times we elevate ourselves into the I am position. God. That's an Old Testament phrase, I am. Look it up in your QuickBooks sometime. It's pretty cool. Well, the Bible says God resists the proud. And so if you're not doing things to deliberately shatter pride, to deliberately shatter inactivity, to deliberately shatter anything that keeps you from just becoming intricately involved with some things biblically, you're losing. You're missing out. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Well, I'm not around a bunch of believers to do things. No. That doesn't have anything to do with this. Because the Bible is universal. There are ways for you to serve and to work and to bless God from a Christian perspective no matter where you are. No matter where you are. And if you learn what those things are, which we're going to be covering next week, you're going to be able to attach yourself to them and do them. So what we're talking about is a mindset change. And I needed to say that before I could show you what humility was. Because that's what I want to focus on. God giveth grace to the humble. You're not interested in God resisting you, are you? I mean, if you want God to resist you, I guess I could teach about pride. But I was thinking about skipping that part and going right into giveth grace to the humble. How many of you want to see God's grace more than you've ever seen it? I hope your hand flew straight to the sky. We all want to see God's favor. Last week I taught 3 days to deliverance. 3 days. That's all you need. Biblically, that's enough. It's enough for just about everything, it seems. How many of you want to see God's favor? Well, everybody raised their hand. That's great. How about you guys out on the phones? I hope you all raised your hands too. I'm really deliberating on this right now because I want you to understand that you're not there. None of us are there. I want you to understand that no matter what you've done spiritually, biblically in your life, you're still not there. And you want to be there. You want to be there where God's favor abounds. You want to be there where you have all the money you need, all the health you need, all the social that you need, all the everything that you need. You want to be there. Okay? And so I want you to understand that there's things you have to do. How many of you are willing to do whatever it takes, but not only loving people, but seeing them at least as equals, if not better than yourself? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 5, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. There it is, humility, lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You want me to think that you're better than me? Get real. I mean, I don't even know how to act like that, much less think like that, okay? I'm supposed to go around thinking that you're better than me? Oh, come on, man. Yeah, okay, sure, fine. What's next? You know, people have a funny way of approaching this subject. But the Bible says lowliness of mind, and then you think about others as if they were better than you. You're not better than other people. You have to think about others as if they were better than you. And this is part of humility. This is how you can show that you're humble. This is how you can prove to yourself that you're humble. It's all about loving others to the point that you consider them better than you. Because you are not better than others. Once you shake all the dirt out of the thing, everybody's the same. We're all people. Okay? Now, Christians, this is who our audience is. We've all got Holy Spirit, we've all got a body, and we've all got a soul. We've all got a mind. But we're not better than any other person in the body of Christ. And you cannot act as if you were. You cannot go around, well, I'm not going to associate with that person, because, well, you know. No, you don't do that. You actually treat others better. That's what it says. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, this esteeming is really focused on the mental. But if it's in your mind, it's going to be in your action. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lowliness of mind means that you see others better than you see yourself. And this is a positioning thing. Now, all too often we position ourselves, well, worldly. We position ourselves as if we were better. And there's always somebody that has it worse off than you do, I guarantee you. But that doesn't make you any better than that person. This is what the world does to mistreat you. The world teaches you that, well, if you have $1,000 in the bank and there's another person that doesn't even have a bank account, then you're better. Okay? You're not better. That doesn't make you better. That's just what the world says. You have a job that pays you $500 and somebody else has a job that pays them $5,000, so they're better than you, and now you start feeling terribly. That's just what the world says. The Christian perspective is that we esteem each other the same or better. Okay? Because remember, there's unity. It's really important that you have lowliness of mind. We're supposed to be like-minded. How can you be like-minded if you think you're better than somebody? You can't. It's not possible. I'm not better than you just because I teach you. And I don't feel better than you. Okay? But some people get to the place that they not only think that they're better than others, but they feel better than others. And I don't mean feel healthy. I mean they're condescending. They look down their nose at you. You are not better than other people. But you're supposed to esteem or think about, that's what esteem means, where you think about somebody and you think about them as they're better than you. Why? Why would I do that? Why would I think that you're better than me? Well, you don't have as much money as I do. So I've got to be better than you. Why would I think that you're better than me? You're younger. Come on. You know? Why would I think that you're better than me? You're a girl. I mean, You could just have an endless list of stuff. You think or you esteem others better than yourself because the Bible says to do it. This is one of those deliberate things. You don't have a choice. You can get as liberal as you want out there in the world, in your job, in your anything else you do. But boy, when it comes back to God's word, you are not allowed to get liberal. You do it what it says. So that's why. The Bible says that you esteem others better than yourself. Now that's not hard to understand, is it? Is that hard to figure out? That means when you're with your friends and they're treating you badly, you say, well, that's okay. You know, I'm going to love you. If you don't esteem somebody better than yourself, you're not going to be able to love them. It's not possible. How can you love somebody that has less money than you? How can you love somebody that has maybe not as good looks as you think you have? How can you love somebody that's a guy? I mean, after all, he's the opposite sex, right? I'm just trying to hit things from the world. Go with me, please. If you don't esteem others better than yourself, your friends will call you on the phone, the problem people, so to speak, that you have to deal with in your businesses, the situations that come up in your families, if you don't esteem others better than yourself, you cannot love them. You can't. Well, I think you know what esteem means. People do this with movie stars. Star. They look at a star and say, oh, she's got so much more than me. He's got so much more than me. Oh, he's so handsome. Oh, she's so beautiful. And look at all that money. And oh my gosh, did you see the limo? And look at her friends. And did you see that dog she has? And oh my gosh, she gets to fly all the way around the world all the time and do shows in Paris and London and California. Oh, wow. And so we are taught to esteem people. We esteem people. But there could be trouble. Because this gets into false humility. Oh, you're esteeming somebody, all right. You're esteeming them better than yourself, but you're also stepping on your own throat. You're also squashing your own head and saying, I'm no good. Now that is not what this is all about. That is not what this is all about. You esteem in your mind that that person is just fine for you. As you serve. As you walk your balanced walk. And then you're going to be able to love them and be able to serve them more. Then you're going to be able to love them and be able to practice God's word more with them. That's what it's all about. You're not practicing God's word with the movie star, are you? You'll never even get to meet that movie star, more than likely. But yet, the world has elevated him so much that you did too. Well, it's false humility. True humility is when you do this with fellow believers. It's when you esteem a fellow believer. Maybe kind of like you did that movie star. But now you serve with that fellow believer. Now you do your balanced walk thing with that fellow believer. That's what it's all about. See, it's within the audience that God's word addresses. That's what it's all about. So now we've got three things. We're learning, the last one we learned is how to position ourselves in the Christian body by refusing to think that we're better than another person. We're positioning ourselves by thinking that that person is better. Now, is that person better? Huh? No. Because it's all about equality. That person's not better. That person's the same as you. But if you want to be humble around that person, you have to think as if they were. because there's just something that works with mankind that if you think that somebody's better, you're going to, well, they like to say in the world, kiss up to them, but you're going to play their game a little bit more. If a movie star, if Tom Cruise came knocking on your door, no matter what your opinion is of him today, but if Tom Cruise did come knocking on your door, you'd probably ask him in, and would you like to come in? Come on in. Excuse me, let me go call my friends real quick. honey, get out the pie, you know? You'd do things. You just would, wouldn't you? You wouldn't say, go away, you disgusting thing, even though he might be disgusting. It's human nature to position yourself like that. If the President of the United States came to your door, what would you do? Faint? Because you position yourself. You position yourself. It's human nature to position yourself. Daughters and daddies, there's a positioning that lasts the whole lifetime. Husbands and wives. The wife is always better than the man. No, I'm just kidding. But there's a positioning that... No, I'm not kidding, dear. But there's a natural positioning that happens in the human being. And so God's saying, look, guys, I built this into you, so use it. Think about people better than you so that you can love them. But there's supposed to be the unity and the equality too. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now why is that in there? Because Jesus did this. He thought of God as better, but that made them the same. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. This equality is not robbery. If you think of somebody as better than you, it's not robbery. You're not getting anything taken from you for doing that. You're opening up an avenue to love, to serve, to be with. Okay? That's what you have. And we are not better than each other. We're equal. Exactly the same as the equality that Jesus realized with God. If Jesus would not have thought of God as better, there would be no equality with them in service, in the balanced walk, in being able to love each other. It wouldn't have been there because Jesus was doing a lot of the things of God here on this earth. Well, what do you think the devil did? Satan, Lucifer, he decided to not think of God as better. He decided to think of himself as better. And look at the folly that took place after that. So you do not want to play with this one. You really want to think of others as better. So that there can be equality. That's what it brings. And it brings humility. You're not better than me. We're all equal with each other. With God. With Jesus Christ. And that's something that we have to know. You're not better than Jesus Christ. He's not better than you. And so on and so forth. We're all equal in this. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and be found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. If you do this, this humility, where you esteem others better than yourself, then God's going to exalt you too. Now we see that in Peter, but I'm showing it to you in Philippians as well. But we don't want to get caught up in false humility. Colossians chapter 2. Well, we've learned that our humility can be shown, can become alive in our lives by service. That's a big one. What's the teeter-totter one? The balanced walk between doctrine and practice. And now, caught up in false humility, which we can very easily do because of the world. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility. Voluntary humility. That's interesting. That means you do it because you want to do it. And worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. If you allow your mind to get puffed up on worldly matters, you will enter into the realm of false humility. You'll think of the wrong things as better than you, and they will squash you. And you just don't want to do that. If you keep thinking that movie stars and things of the world and your boss and anything else out there is better than you, but that makes you bad, but that makes you really less, then you have a problem. That's false humility, and you do not want to think like that. Okay? You don't want to get caught up in false humility. Well, it's a serious human problem. We're constantly being wooed and amazed at some person or some spiritual thing. It's just unending. Unending. True humility is all about service, it's all about the balanced walk, and it's all about loving each other by esteeming each other better. That's what it's all about. We are all unified. We're supposed to be that way mentally. We're supposed to serve with one purpose, one spirit, one everything. It's all about unity. That's humility. In verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. This is that voluntary worship, voluntary humility we just saw in the other verse. And humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These are things that show you, that talk about false humility. And you can study those. I'd recommend you go back and really look at those things. Religion and outward act can and often do replace humility. And we all know that. We've seen it. Outward shows of will worship, false humility. In other words, pretending to do the word among people, but really not, because you don't have any knowledge of it. And neglecting of the body are all things that people do to pretend they're humble. But none of these count. What counts is when you recognize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and that when God says something in his word, he means it, and you're supposed to apply it. Mental humility is evidenced in service. A walk, balance between doctrine and practice, and also true acts of daily love toward each other. That's humility. So you put it on in verse Colossians chapter 3, you're right there almost, and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness of mind, or kindness, and then humbleness of mind. There it is, humility. It's all in the mind. Meekness and long-suffering. You must decide to be this way, and you must deliberately put it on. Humility is a mental position you put yourself in. You actually take yourself and you put yourself there in that humility position. You have to make yourself become that. You serve, you balance between study and living the Word, you love others, and you consider yourself equal in the body of Christ. You put it on. And so I put together a literal of 1 Peter 5:5. You might want to turn there. First Peter 5:5, literal. Likewise, ye younger ones, be subject to the elder ones, and one to another bind on all humility in service. And one to another bind on all humility and service. Now you know what that H word means. And one to another bind on all humility in service, in a balanced walk, in loving others, and in being equal with every other person in the body of Christ and in the family of God. Because God sets himself against the proud, but to the humble give favor. I'll read that again. Likewise, ye younger ones, be subject to the elder ones. And one to another, bind on all humility in service, in a balanced biblical walk, in loving others, and in being equal with every other person in the body of Christ and in the family of God. Because God sets himself against the proud, and to the humble gives grace. In verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, you humble yourself in service. You humble yourself in a balanced biblical walk. You humble yourself in loving others. You humble yourself in those equal estimations of each other. You can only do that if you think that somebody is better than yourself. And then it clicks. You do these things under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time. And then verse 7, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Now you wonder why that verse is there. Diamond in the rough, right? Context is king, right? Those rules never change. Casting means to lay them upon. To lay them upon. Well, God's the subject, or the object, so you lay them upon God. You lay them upon God. Well, look at Luke 19. I'm going to show you one verse that uses that casting, so you get an indelible mind picture of casting. You have cares in your life. You have things that you have to deal with that they're too big for you, maybe. Well, that's not exactly what this is talking about, but you can still do this. The Bible says you take those things and you put them on God. Well, in Luke 19, verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. That word cast is the same word cast in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Yeah, have you ever seen anybody put a blanket on a horse before they put the saddle on? Well, that's kind of what they were doing here. They were putting their garments on this colt so that Jesus wouldn't have to sit on the bare back, but he could be comforted by sitting on the clothes instead. So sitting on the bare back of a colt or a horse can be kind of itchy. Okay? Well, other reasons too. So what does this mean, to cast all your care? Well, context is king. Cast means to lay, like to lay a blanket on that colt. Well, you lay all your service cares on him in this walk of humility. You lay all your balanced, walking worthy cares, your biblical walk cares upon him. You lay all your loving others cares on him, and that's a lot. If you're trying to love others and they're not receiving your love, but you know you're still going to keep doing it, that can really bother you. We just go lay those on God, those cares, those troubles. Lay all your equality cares upon Him, and He will carry them for you. He will carry them for you. Don't you want God to carry these? Well, I do. And I know you do too. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, context is king. Diamond in the rough. Why is this verse here? It has all to do with you becoming humble and walking in humility of mind. This happens when you're serving, when you're walking a biblical walk, when you're loving others, and when you're esteeming others better than yourself. I did a literal on that. Be sober. Watch your devil adversary who goes about as a roaring lion seeking someone to swallow up. That's what it says. Seeking someone to swallow up. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, which means resist firm or stiff in believing. You just stiffen up. Stiffen up. When you're dealing with these things that cause you to have cares that you have to lay on God, you stiffen up because you know the adversary is going to try to screw things up in there. If he ever comes around trying to freak you out while you're doing this stuff, you stiffen up in believing. You stiffen up in believing, knowing or perceiving that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, we're all in this thing together. Let's act as if we were. Let's do this thing together. There's strength in numbers. Inner strength, that is. That's what that means. And verse 10. But the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto an eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, this whole suffering thing is probably not what you're thinking. If you look back in chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Peter 4, 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What mind? A suffering mind? No, a mind of humility. In service, in a balanced walk, in esteeming others better than yourself. Arm yourself with that mind. That's how he was. He did that with God, and he did it with every person he dealt with, even the Pharisees. And so you can do it too. I don't care who your obstinate parties are, the people you have to deal with that you don't like, that you don't want to have to deal with, and you're going to have them. But you learn to arm yourself with the same mind that Jesus Christ had by having a humble mind in service, in a balanced walk, and in esteeming others better than yourself. That's so you can love them. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So let us become a humble army. A humble army, men and women of the Lord, that let humility reign. Let us become a humble army, a mass of people humble in the Lord, intent on service, intent on walking according to God's word, intent on loving each other, and intent on seeing self, each person, each one of us as equal with each other because we esteem each other better. Let us be intent on avoiding all forms of false humility, all those outward shows, but inward nothing. Let's not get caught up in the false humilities of the world, raising somebody up so high and then you get pushed down so low. That's not humility, but that's the humility of the world and it's false. Let us be intent on laying all of our humility cares on God and allowing Him to carry them for us. Your service cares, the things that come up when you're trying to serve, but then somebody says something or something happens and it seems like you'll never get a serve or it'll never work out like you wanted. Or your cares. When you're walking a balanced walk or you're trying to, and then something comes up to try to tempt you off of it, go lay that on God. Or when you really want to love somebody and they don't respond, and you find it very difficult to think of them as better than you because of what they just did, lay it on God. The Bible says to lay all your cares on God, but it's those humility of mind cares. It's those humility of service cares first and foremost. So let us be intent on laying all of our humility cares on God and allowing Him to carry them for us, just like the colt carried the clothing that laid under Jesus as He rode Him through the town. Let us perfect this walk together in service. In our walks, and in our love for each other, and in how we see each other, and then we can fitly say what it says in 1 Peter 5 verse 11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.